summit logo, clouds on top, lens flare.
This shot cost more than I made last year. Darkness
fade, wide shot, blue flowers fade to their embrace.
More flowers fade,
fade to a sunset,
fade to some hobbits.
Dakota's now legal in 31
states.
From the worldwide best
fade in a bed. Fade to Robert's face on a pillow. Kristen's face, look up
hot. Kristen and her dad, dad thinks she's hot.
Run the mom.
This swamp represents the mood.
Sad.
Hold her hand. Taylor's face, Kristen's face.
Will they kiss?
No.
It all begins with a choice. Fade to Taylor's face, Robert's face. Fade to Kristen contemplates a taste in
men.
I'm done with the new music.
Hip hoppy wop hop.
Made of fail.
We were unpopular before it was cool.
Come on, let's get this gay show on the gay road.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist. It makes sense now.
Yeah, it's all falling into place. Of course, that place is nowhere near this place.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome yet again to Made of Fail. I'm Kevin.
I am a very, very, very broken Dana.
And we have an excellent show for you tonight. First off, I'd like to introduce previous guests on the show. We have Casey.
What up, Negroes?
And returning favorite, Cleo Linda.
Hey guys. I was off that. I'm sorry.
No, I was totally expecting you to say, what up, Negroes? That would have been great.
I guess our audience knows what they're in for, seeing as what just came out and who's on the show right now.
Dun dun.
That's right. Everyone here at Made of Fail has gone to see that new, amazing, wonderfully... I can't continue that with a straight face.
The Last Airbender?
Oh,
let's get into that a little bit later.
But skim it first real quick and like your one-word review.
Scream.
Well, I can give you a quick review.
All right.
But so all of us here at Made a Fail have gone to see Eclipse, that new the new installment in the self-styled Twilight. I can't believe they're getting away with using this term saga.
Need more Vikings.
So, what did you guys think?
Dana, how did you get through New Moon if this one was so bad?
New Moon had face punch!
That's true.
Yeah, but this one had, like, 500% more Charlie.
It doesn't matter. I'm so... Alright. I've had a really, really, really bad couple of days. And Cleo happened to tell me about when she got back from seeing the movie. I asked her, okay, how was it? And she's like, oh, there was some really awesome stuff. You're gonna like it because there's violence and you know, the Cullens start punching heads off of vampires and they punch them into crystal. And I just, what? And so I'm extrapolating on this, like it stopped me. Like I had like, I just, like, froze, and I'm just, like, punching into crystal.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, extrapolating on that, wouldn't it be really funny if all the makeup that everybody uses at Hot Topic is made of ground vampire, and then she says, actually?
You know it's not ending well from there, because... What I said was, you know, there's this scene in the movie where they all sit around the werewolf campfire and they talk about the history of the whatever. And this is the first cold one. Peter Murphy. Okay.
I know it's Peter Murphy.
The way they end the story is, And thus we have this bag of powdered vampire that we have carried around ever since.
Which, in and of itself, is not necessarily... Not necessarily a wacky thing. I could totally understand that. Like, carry around the ashes of your enemy to always remind you, hey, listen, you know, constant vigilance, that kind of thing.
Kevin, Cleo, Casey, audience, okay. Listen. I've sat through Twilight. I've sat through New Moon. I've reviewed fully 2 pornos, okay? Based on these stupid movies, okay? I've done this. I've walked this road with these people, okay? Powdered Vampire gave me the biggest fatal check exception error I've ever had in my life.
It really
I'm
did.
I'm done. Kevin, I quit. I'm taking this internet and going home. I just...
Yeah, you know Urban Decay makeup is going to make a color called, like, Powdered Vampire, right?
I... Shut
they are
up.
Now.
Just...
Oh, good. You can send me some for free, Urban Decay. It was my idea. I love you guys.
I was on 1 hour of sleep that night, and Cleo, I can't talk. You have to tell them what happened.
She just kept repeating powdered sparkle pyre over and over and over for, I'm not kidding, about 12 or 15 minutes.
While alternately
laughing and crying. Like, I'm not even making this up at all. Just sobbing. Just sobbing. It was like that episode of Ren and Stimpy with the space madness.
It was space madness!
That's what she said it was. It really was.
Well, it's important to have hobbies.
Vampire!
Dana. Okay. Let's move on.
Oh, God, it just...
Alrighty.
So much. So this was probably the movie that I should have liked this the most. There was more action. There was... Oh, let's just get it out of the way. Spoilers ahoy. But it just... I don't know if it's a combination of I haven't been sleeping well, if I haven't... I've had a lot of shit come down on me the last couple days, and just powdered sparkle pyre, and I just... I couldn't... This is it, people. This was my breaking point. I made it through 2 movies, 2 pornos, lots of discussions. I broke. I have officially... coming out and saying it. Broken.
Damn,
broken.
That's all it took?
Awesome. It was a cascading combination of shit getting thrown at me and powdered sparkle pyre and massive drama. You go to hell. You go to hell and you die and you choke on your powdered sparkle pyre.
See, now, honestly... that makes me think that it really is just a combination of that, because for me, and keep this in mind, as a heterosexual male, more or less, this movie really kept me entertained the most out of all 3 that have been released thus far, and especially considering that it's all downhill from here.
No. Breaking Dawn's gonna bring me back because of the sheer amount of crack.
Well, they're saying that they're not going to be having all that crack in there.
Rob Pattinson's fighting it, which God bless him.
But, see, this movie to me was way more enjoyable because, yes, there was all the wacky what the hell is this shit going on. But, see... Here's the thing, and I don't know if it's a combination of the new director or if the screenwriter is really, really getting on her game now. But first off, all the new bloods, the newborn vampires,
actual vampires,
freaking
doing actual
awesome,
vampiring,
completely.
Yeah.
Psychotic raving junkies, which vampirism has a long standing of being a metaphor not just for sex but also for addiction.
May I cut in for a moment?
No.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
I asked very nicely. The opening sequence where Riley's about to get pyred, right?
That was fantastic.
But do you know what that felt like to me? Like, I couldn't stop myself from thinking it.
Flash
you got
death.
That scene in the alley, and then right before they cut to the title card, I thought, swear to you, they were going to cut to Smallville credits, and I was going to hear, like, you know, somebody said. That's what it felt like. It felt like Smallville. It really did. And I don't know if I'm insulting it or not, but I think I am. It's just what it felt like to me. Like, opening action sequence for 5 seconds. Okay, TV now. And I'm just like, that's it felt like Smallville. Of course, I'm a victim of space madness, so Kevin, I just had to get that in there, and you can go ahead and finish your thoughts, because I'm an interrupting cow.
Thank you. But no, with all the action sequences being as really well choreographed as they were, even though they were very obviously CGI'd, and Bryce Dallas Howard, fantastic as Victoria. I like her much better than the original chick.
Ooh, Kevin.
I'm sorry. I like her.
Poking the fangirls. You're poking the fangirls.
Oh, you know what? I don't care. Bring it on.
Taunt her.
But.
I'm so disappointed.
But. Here's the thing. This movie, like I said, had 500% more awesome Charlie scenes, and really, aside from
Dad,
Alice
I'm a
and
virgin,
Emmett,
okay?
Aside from Alice and Emmett awesomeness, I pretty much watched these movies for Charlie. And he did not disappoint.
I have at least 3 points in my notes where I say, Charlie being the voice of reason, I love you, Charlie, like three times in my notes.
One of my only notes says, shut up, Charlie. You're from
really?
Yeah.
What's your beef with Charlie?
It was in the first scene with Charlie when, after you know, she and Edward are trying to study in the Summer of Eve commercial. And, because he does this thing where, you know, I'll make you a deal, you know, we'll marry, I'll change, whatever. And then she gets home and Jacob's like, oh, by the way, I mean, wait, what's his name? Charlie. Yeah, he's like, oh, by the way, you're so grounded. But I'll make you a deal and I'll unground you if you go hang out with people. And I was like, especially Jacob. I'm like, what is it, deal day? Shut up, Charlie.
I like how you said the meadow of a Summer's Eve commercial, because Edward is a douche.
But I have that written down, because they have that part where they're in the big field of flowers. I kept waiting for Bella to be like, Edward, do you ever feel less than fresh?
I like
and
how
then,
he...
What?
I was going to say, I like how he started using the Mount Splashmore technique. Will you marry me? No. Will you marry me? No. Will you marry me? If I say yes, will you shut the hell up?
But she had that whole, honey, I'm trying to study for my English. Who the fuck studies in a field of flowers? Who does that? Who finds a babbling brook with a hot guy and is like, you know what? This is a great place to study. I'm just going to lay here right now.
Good point.
Just saying. And how pissified is Edward if he actually lets her?
Why are you asking into the third movie how pussified Edward is? Really? Really? You
well,
still
I thought the
have
point got across, honestly.
Well, okay, if we really want to break shit down here, I never saw the first one. I suffered through the second one. I've only read the first two books, so I haven't even read this one. So your Twilight Foo is a lot more knowledgeable than mine. So I'm coming out of here with not much.
Isn't that sick? That is sick. That makes me
okay.
Ill.
If we're on that topic, I'm the only one who's read the third book, right?
Correct.
Let me explain to you why this movie, I'm not saying it's a good movie, because I'm incapable of judging this. I can't. I come from the perspective of, dear God, this is so much better than the book, because Melissa Rosenberg, like a hurdle jumper, just cleared all of the stupid, just skipped right over it. And it's like, when Edward disables her truck.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
No. In the book, he says, if you don't want to let me in your window tonight, I understand. This is so he sleeps beside her all night long. Okay. So she goes up to her room, and she's all mad, and she's like, I'm not going to open the window. And then she's like, and then I opened it anyway and let him in. I mean, oh my God.
What? Son of a...
What?
Like, this is what we're dealing with in the book, okay? And we're dealing with this endless meebling about... Jacob and Edward, but I love Edward more, but I still love Jacob, and I want to have babies with Jacob, and my... And all of this stuff, and she ties it in with, like, Wuthering Heights, because that's the book they're studying, instead of the incredibly on-point thematic poem at the beginning, which was so much better than having to listen to all this bullshit about Wuthering Heights for 3 hours, so okay. You know, nice. And at the end she's like, I'm just like Kathy, I treat everyone bad! I'm like, yes.
Not wrong.
Thank you for joining us. Okay.
In today's okay. Done.
So I get so angry about that. But then Alice, Edward bribes her to babysit Bella to make sure that she doesn't run off and go see Jacob. So they have sleepovers. And he's going to buy her, was it a Porsche? Whatever it was she drove in New Moon, whatever she stole, he's going to buy her one. Okay, so she's having sleepovers with Bella, and Bella's like, okay, I guess she can paint my toes, whatever, toenails.
And so,
pretty much. And so then she starts whining about, but if you're going to marry him, you have to have a huge wedding for me to plan. You have to. How can you do this to me? This is so... Okay, this is really awesome. Edward keeps saying, you know, I just want you to be happy. I just want the piece of paper. I just want you to marry me. If it upsets you that much, I won't let Alice plan you a wedding. We'll get Emmett a clerical license off the internet.
No, I would totally get married by Emmett. That would be awesome. Be like, dude, she's hot. Do you say yes? Yes. Dude, he's hot. Go with him. Kiss.
I can't tell you.
Thank you.
Wedding to be, do you? Yes. Do you? Yes. Good. You're married. Kiss her. I wanted that to be my whole wedding. Now, you're explaining all this shit in the book, Cleo, and I have never in my life wanted this show to be a vlog more so you guys could see my face, because it is just like, I can't decolon any harder than I am right now. I'm just like... Look, you destroyed me at Powdered Sparkle Pyre, and I haven't recovered. This is the part that, like, you're not understanding. I am gone out into, like, event horizon of fucking Twilight is just... I can take a lot of shit. I can take a lot of crack. I read, like, almost all of Countdown, but this... This. Cleo, the more you talk, the more you pop my brain cells like they were a pink sheet of bubble wrap.
I can go.
I was going to say, our special guest who has joined us purely on the merit of her own generosity, and you're telling her basically to shove off.
No,
right.
Telling her that she wins, okay, the Sparkle Pyres win, I'm done, I surrender, I give up.
What's funny is that you say this every single Twilight episode.
No, but this one really, 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 I mean...
I say this a lot, but I really mean it this time.
No, but there's just the massive amounts of fuckery.
Hey!
And this is just... It's crushing.
I know, you see, I got 8 pages of notes on this crap.
You see why I then come back from these movies and go, that was remarkably fuckwit-free! Oh my God! I mean, you see why I come back and go, that was so much better than it could have been. She doesn't even sit and cry all night about how awful she was to Jacob.
I just...
My note is always the same. It just says, what an absolute bunch of fuckery. That's always the last thing I write.
It's also really, really hard for me to watch this and try to divorce it with what I know comes next. You know what
I
mean?
It's fun for me because I don't know what comes next. So I have a whole bunch of crap.
Shit! And I can't... There's so much I can't say now.
This is my favorite game. No, this is my favorite game.
But see, this is the whole thing. I don't understand why you feel the need to hold spoilers from me. You know I don't give two flying monkey fucks regardless.
So okay, then I want to let Cleo do it. Because
I was about to say, you have to let me do this. You have to let... Oh, my God.
I'll sleep just fine tonight. And you know what?
Okay.
I'll go for you the next one and talk trash about that one.
Kevin, you and I are going to shut up for a minute and sit back and bask and watch a new one.
Wow, I don't know what that's like at all. I mean, okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'm trying to collect my thoughts here.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Let's start with the printing.
No, you have
Dana,
to.
Dana, I thought you were going to shut up and let Cleo do it.
All right. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm muting my mic. I'm muting my mic right now.
Oh. You know, I couldn't help it. They talked about it for a second in this movie, imprinting. I'm a dirty, foul-mouthed whore because I kept snickering every time he said imprint.
Here's the thing.
Holy subjects, Batman.
What he doesn't tell you is that the example he then gives her is how that kid Quill has just imprinted on his soulmate named Claire. She's a 2-year-old girl. A 2-year-old toddler. He has imprinted on her. This is going to be good. This is going to be so fucking good.
Oh, I'm so glad this isn't a video chat because my face will probably crack a camera right now.
This is going to be
holy pedophilia.
Wait for it.
You don't even know. Okay, so Breaking Dawn begins. I'm going to go quickly.
Okay.
Edward and Bella get married. They go to an island the Cullens own for their honeymoon. Edward goes and waits in the warm tropical water for her so that he won't be ice cold when they do it. She wakes up the next morning, in bed, covered in bruises, with the headboard broken, and the pillows all bit up to hell, because
that's
he lost... I know, right? Because he lost control, and now he's all like, we must never do it ever again! So he's like, I hurt you! Oh my God, no! And she's like, ah. So she's he's trying to get back into his pants and finally does it. And so he goes off to hunt or whatever, and she's suddenly like, man, I don't feel so good. I just threw up. And I'm sitting here writing, she kept going, she's fucking pregnant. She's not.
Oh my God. No.
She's fucking pregnant. Okay. So the movie actually gives you a very specific timeline, which I had not realized. They get married on August the 13th, right? Mm-hmm. Her birthday is September the 13th. They mention this. Mm-hmm. What happens next, considering that they've already spent a week on their honeymoon, must take place over the course of 3 weeks. Okay, so she has conceived a half-vampire mutant baby that comes to term in like 3 weeks. It's really strong. It breaks her ribs kicking. Eventually it... Oh, and they start having her drink blood out of, like, a sippy cup to...
glitter and sparkles on it?
I don't know, but she supposedly gets sick at the smell of blood, so they're all like, no, put it in the cup with the lid. And she's like, hey, this is pretty good. So it... Then it kicks her really hard. She vomits up all the blood. It breaks her spine. They rush her upstairs to whatever little makeshift hospital Carlisle has set up for them. The amniotic sac or whatever it is, because it's made of vampire tissue, they can't cut through it. They've got to do a C-section on her or it will rip her apart. The only thing that can cut through vampire tissue is vampire teeth. Edward gives her a vampire teeth cesarean. I'll get so much.
Wait, this was a teenager's book?
Yes.
Young adult, baby. Okay,
no. Teaching our children. Think of the children.
Oh, don't worry.
Casey, don't worry. Jacob will look out for the children. Okay,
No, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Okay, so I have to tell this. I have to tell this because this is my favorite game. Okay. So she's bleeding out on the table, crushed, body mangled. Edward bites her so that the venom will get into her system and she can be a vampire. This is like the only condition under which he would ever agree to do it, that she's dying. She dies on the table. Okay, so Jacob, just furious that his beloved Bella has died. Shit! Okay, so I gotta go back a moment and tell you that Edward, they all want her to abort the baby, and she's like, no, I have to have my baby.
Don't you know my character was created by a Mormon? No! This Rosalie's is my punishment for having premarital sex. Oh, children, read between the lines. Okay, sorry.
Rosalie, who wants the babies, is the one protecting her to keep them from doing this to her. So Edward says to Jacob, look, if you can convince her to abort this baby, I will share her with you. She can, I'm quoting, she can have puppies if she wants.
Damn, I thought Edward would just offer to buy Jacob a fucking shirt!
Yeah. So, that's my favorite line in the whole movie, doesn't even own a shirt. I love that.
I wrote so many things about that.
Okay, so she's dead on the table. Let's fast forward back. Jacob picks up the baby, and he's so mad, he's just going to, like, kill it. He's going to throw it out the window. He looks into the baby's eyes, the baby he just helped deliver, and imprints on it.
Is that what you mean when Jacob is thinking of the children? Oh, dirty, I feel. Oh, no, why?
I'm laughing so hard you can't even hear me.
No, God. Oh, fuckery, most foul.
And that was the moment that Casey split in half.
I'm sorry, I can't brain right now. I have the dumb and.
wait for
okay,
it.
Okay, I. White people are crazy.
Yeah, Casey?
What?
It's not done.
What? No!
You gotta hear Edward's reaction. You gotta hear You gotta hear Edward's reaction.
Let Cleo tell this. This is her favorite thing.
Does he have a reaction to this? Well, anyway. Oh, okay. Here's the thing. So, Bella wants to name her baby Renesmee. Because her mother's name is Renee, and his vampire adopted mother is Esme. So, Renesmee. Which is, I try not to go after the religion thing, but that is a really Mormon thing to do, the name smudge thing. And so they call her, Jacob starts calling her Nessie, and Bella freaks the shit out, and is all like, you're getting my baby after the Loch Ness Monster! And I'm like, dude, he fucking imprinted on the baby. You've got bigger problems to worry about right now.
Really?
So they take her hunting for the first time, and she is the best vampire that ever vampired, and she jumps farther and longer and runs faster. And Alice, she wakes up 2 days before her birthday, which is how you know this took like 3 weeks tops. She wakes up, Alice has dressed her in a blue silk cocktail dress and silver like spike heels, and she's like, oh, Alice, you would. So she's out hunting first elk. Okay. Runs across some hikers. She's like, oh no, I might know them. I can't eat them. And so this is why Jasper's all sad when he's like, you didn't even eat your first person you came across? Oh. And then she arm wrestles with Emmett. That's pretty awesome. So
if that's not in the movie, I'm going to be pissed.
I know, right? So she comes in. And she wants to see her baby, you know, for the first time. And everyone's like, yeah, so she might kill the baby, but okay, we'll let her in. And Jacob keeps standing in front of the baby. And she's like, what is your deal? Like, why are you, what is your problem? And everyone kind of looks at each other. And Emmett starts
whistling.
Emmett starts laughing, and he's like, yeah, you tell her. So,
so better tell her, dude.
Shifts around, looks at each other like,
Kevin, hush, let her go.
Everyone, like, backs away slowly. Text me on the chat what reaction you're thinking about, because I can't remember. So, you know, Bella tries to tear Jacob's head off and all of this stuff.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay, yeah, it's not Edward. Edward's not happy about it, but, you know, Bella's, like, tries to rip his head off, break Seth's arm or something, and it's just like, ah! And then she gets mad about the Renesmee thing.
Evil.
Oh, but isn't Edward, like, oddly okay with this? Like, I think of you as a son now, Jacob.
No, okay. That happens later. So the Volturi are all like, oh, no, baby vampire, that's not good. And they're like, no, it's not a baby we turned into a vampire. It's a vampire we gave birth to. It's okay. She's going to grow up.
She's like the difference between Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby and Queen and David Bowie's Under Pressure. Completely different.
You would make that comparison.
You love me.
So, what did they do? So then they have to tell Charlie, because they're like, no, we'll move away, and we'll tell Charlie that Bella's in quarantine, and he just will think of something. So Jacob doesn't want them to move away. So he runs over to Charlie's house and first explodes, and is like, ta-da! Because they can't tell him that they're vampires, but he's like, well, I can tell him, I'm a werewolf, I can do that. So, you know, and Charlie's all like, so what's wrong with Bella? Does she turn into an animal? And I think the line is, she wishes she was that cool. So, okay, so they take Charlie over. And they're like, so the baby, who's now within 5 days, like a 3-year-old toddler,
okay,
looks so much like both Bella and Edward. They're going to try to pass her off as Edward's ward. Okay. They invoke Batman and Robin. I don't know. It's horrible. So Charlie immediately comes in and is like, that's my daughter's kid. Bella, I saw you a month ago at your wedding. You didn't have a toddler. What is going on?
Really?
And so he kind of has the blue screen of death. And then he's like, Emmett's watching the game. I'm going to go watch the game with Emmett. And everything is fine.
No, I think that's... I don't think it's because it was fine. I think it's just he snapped, and that was, like, it. That was it. You know, I'm going to go make, you know, knit things in the ward over there, you know? Like, you know, I'm going to go watch the game with Emmett is his, like, you know, it's tea time and pill time now in the bin.
I'll skip through the rest of it because it's mostly boring. But basically, we get to the confrontation at the end, and Jacob, Edward is just so... They're going to leave Renesmee to possibly run off with Jacob if they have to get her out of there. And so Edward's all like, you know, as we go into this battle, I don't know what will happen. Jacob, my brother, my son.
Jesus Christ.
My fail.
And basically, then Bella talks at them, and they have a Care Bear stare, and the end. Everybody's happy. And then she and Edward go have sex some more.
Is that the end of all the fuckery? Like, that's just
how
the
end of it.
The end of the last book is they go and have sex.
That's the end of it.
Jesus Christ. I just, wow. And this is all the next one?
Yep.
Yes. The next two movies. They split it in half.
Oh, the next two. Oh.
You thought you were done.
I was hoping
I told Carl they were splitting it in two movies, and he started crying in the corner, like, literally.
I don't blame him. If I had known, I probably would have asked him to move over so I could get in there, too. We can hold each other and sob and sing Ebony and Ivory or something. I don't fucking know. God, how awful. Damn, why? I don't understand.
Okay, now go back and mentally replay that scene where Jacob explains imprinting to Bella. The reason he is so drawn to her, he says this, he's figured it out. The reason he was just so incredibly drawn to her was because she was the mother of his future soulmate. He has essentially kind of pre-imprinted on an ovum.
Ew.
I know, right?
You want to know
what my favorite part of that scene? What?
My favorite part of that scene in the movie was where they kind of do a cutaway where Edward says Jacob starts saying starts to talk about imprinting, and Bella says, "Do I really want to know?" or whatever she says, something like that, and it cuts away, and you think that it's like, okay, yeah, they're going to gloss over it, but then they start talking about it. So it's kind of like an epic fake out.
I'm sitting there like, no, Bella. No, Bella, you don't. You don't.
It's like, yes, they're not going to show it. Oh, God damn it.
Now, see, what a lot of people thought before Breaking Dawn came out was that Leah was going to get together with Jacob so Jacob wouldn't be lonely. Everyone was like, you know, Team Jacob and Leah for a while, because you noticed that she was all like, you know, being all bitchy to Bella about, like, you know, don't fuck with Edward. Don't fuck with Jacob.
We keep switching the names. We do.
Well, they're both big douchebags. It's hard to tell them
apart.
They're
so interchangeable. One has a really bad tan, and the other one just, you know, glistens.
See, my suggestion, if she'd had a boy, was to name him Edwub Charlisle. So, maybe it's...
These names, Jesus, she might as well put them in, like, toddler taekwondo or something, because they're going to get their ass kicked on the playground, regardless.
No, but doesn't Renesmee have some sort of, like, half-vampire power or something?
She touches you, and she can make you see her thoughts and memories.
That's really kind of...
Oh, my God! Wouldn't it be, like, horrible if, like, after her and Jacob have sex, she accidentally, like, brushes up against Bella and, like, just skeeves her out?
Or Edward, for that matter.
Well, I was
thinking Edward goes to get the shotgun.
No, because I can see her be like, hey, Mom, guess what you missed out on?
Oh, ew. Ew. Okay.
I owed you some brain breakage.
Because I haven't been through enough in the last 10 minutes?
No, I owed Cleo.
Collateral damage, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
This is the game we call Horrify the Twilight Noob, because it's like, you get to fight over who gets to do it, and...
I wouldn't let anybody but you, Cleo. You're a professional.
All I can think is, Stephanie Meyer, this bitch is crazy. I mean, like, really.
Oh, that's what Robert Pattinson says.
What, seriously. This bitch is crazy?
Basically, yeah. We had a sound clip the first time we did this.
Yeah, Kevin had a sound clip to the effect of him saying that it's... Let's see if I can remember this.
It's a sick voyeuristic fantasy.
It reads
reading
like her own personal sexual fantasy.
He said she thought she was Bella, and, you know, Edward was like, and he got really skeeved out by it. Like, she was convinced, he says, quote, like, she was convinced she was Bella.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, the thing about, at least from what I understand in the first book, is that Bella is so nondescript that any idiot can pretend to be her.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the reader proxy thing, yeah.
Yeah. So, we've gone way off track, but it was really fun. But let's start talking about the basic premise of Eclipse is Bella's choice. And the whole movie is about choice.
No, it's about Bella's a douchebag.
Besides that, but this is what they're trying to go for if they were trying, you know. It's so cute. They tried to make it a real movie with a real theme, so let's just kind of...
Oh, that's so cute.
I want to read a passage from this book I have. It's book 5 of The Malorian by David Eddings, the Seeress of Kell. The whole series is about, like, this epic war between the light and the dark, right? It's your basic fantasy MacGuffin, right? Let me read this paragraph that comes towards the end, and it explains the difference between what the light and the dark are trying to do, and I think it really applies to Edward and Jacob. Garion was startled, even a little awed, by the single-mindedness of the spirit of the Child of Dark. The thing was as implacable and unchangeable as adamantine rock. He perceived that it did not change because it could not. He began to grope his way towards something that seemed significant. Light could change. Every day was testimony to that. Dark could not. Then it was at last that he understood the true meaning of the eternal division which had rent the universe apart. The dark sought immobile stasis. The light sought progression. The dark crouched in a perceived perfection. The light, however, moved on, informed by the concept of perfectibility. And that's been the big thing between, like, you know, the fight between Jacob and Edward is... And even, like... Throughout the whole movie, this is repeated, and you know, what Rosalie was really bitching about was, like, I'm frozen. I'll never be anything more than this. I'll never live a life. I'll never have choices. I'll never have options. I'm just this forever. And so, if you think about it, Edward's kind of, like,
the child of dark and Jacob is the child of light, where he's promising her a human life, and, you know, he said it's easy as breathing, and, you know, but Bella's just like, you know, fuck this, humanity sucks, I'm too different to deal with this, you know, and I just want to freeze forever.
Which is what it sounds like. This is why people got so angry about the fourth book, because they made it sound like she was choosing Edward because she loved him, but she would miss out on so much that she could have with Jacob. Then she has a half-vampire mutant baby, and she gets to have it all. So this whole idea of she... Well, I mean, Rosalie's point is also, you know, that she doesn't want to be frozen because then she can't have children, which is what she really wanted. And no, she and Emmett can't actually be old and watch actual grandchildren, per se. But... Right. Bella basically gets to have it all.
Can I ask you a question? What's Rosalie's, because I haven't read the fourth book, what's Rosalie's reaction to the coming of Renesmee? Is she jealous? Is she, you know, like...
Does she's she start, thrilled.
She, oh, because then she gets to be the cool aunt, right? Okay.
Basically, she forgives Bella for everything, because she's like, well, you had a baby, and that's what I wanted for you.
Babies!
Because that's what it's all about, kids. You gotta have the babies.
Oh, the babies! You have ovaries. You must use them, yeah. You are
fuck
woman.
Fuck you! I am in my sixth year of marriage, and I still don't want kids. I'm never gonna want kids. Does that make my marriage invalid?
I didn't want kids when I was a kid. It has nothing to do with it, but it's really interesting that I really liked Rosalie, and I especially liked her fuck you, Bella, I hate you, and hope you die really soon attitude. And then suddenly she was just like, but you can have babies! Yeah,
I'm
you
so
have babies
jealous, because you can go jealous through labor.
You can push something the size of a watermelon through a hole the size of a lemon, and I'm jealous.
Well, you know what the other thing that I really loved, speaking of that, of the Rosalie baby scene in the movie, is that and I think it's something that you drew my attention to, Cleo, is the fact that the composer of the soundtrack is Howard freaking Shore.
Howard
whatever.
Shore.
How bad he did not need that paycheck. I just whatevered all over.
But it was pretty cool.
What warmed my heart was that in the scene where Rosalie busts down the hall and throws open the door to get to what's-his-name, I'm telling you, he borrowed from some of the music he did for Silence of the Lambs, because that's like my favorite movie, so I would know this. I love that he borrowed from that. I was just like, because she is going to eat him, after all. So I was
clapping your hands like a little seal.
I pretty much was. I was so happy.
Here's your fish, like, Cleo.
Were you doing the happy Kraken dance?
I'm trying to remember what the happy Kraken dance was.
It was. I remember you were discussing it when you came back from the various Pirates movies, and you did the happy Kraken dance.
Oh, yeah.
It just stuck in my memory, so. The happy Kraken dance.
I remember. I knew there was something I was supposed to act out for you when we finally met in person, and it was the Medusa pout from Clash of the Titans. That's what I was thinking of.
Yes.
That's what it was. Okay.
That's what you. Yeah.
With all the snakes pouting.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But what do you think of the movie trying to make itself be about all these choices, and Bella's just sitting here like, whatever. There's no choice. I'm just. It just seems like this huge mixed mess. How bad? I sat there wanting Bella to think things over and say, you know what? No. Fuck you, Jacob. Fuck you, Edward. I want to live my life, and someday I'll come back to one of you, but I've been talked into having a life first. She's like, what, barely 18?
Mm-hmm.
It really pisses me off. I mean, like, I got married at 24, and there's still stuff I wish I'd done beforehand, but, you know, I mean, I'm happy with my choice, but I at least, you know, thought it through. It's just like, Bella, you ignorant cunt, just listen. The whole movie is people telling you to fucking think things through. Just got so frustrated.
But what's interesting is the fact that when there was a choice offered to her, it was made for her. Like we mentioned earlier about Edward disabling her truck so she couldn't go see Jacob. And
my note right there is in giant, like, 24-point, you know, pencil, what the fuck, Edward?
Yeah. I was like, wow, can you say you served?
But in the same breath, I kind of, like, skimmed over Cleo's Eclipse recap, so I know how this came off in the book is a lot more, Bella was a lot more passive. I have at least 6 times in my notes going, is that a tiny bit of a, is that a vertebra? Are you growing a spinal column? What is this? Where is Bella Swan? What did you do with her? Why are you being, like, that's a spinal column.
Well, that's kind of the theme of movie Bella versus book Bella ever since the very beginning, hasn't it, though?
I haven't seen it up until this movie. I honestly haven't. Where she's already
again,
like,
you haven't read the books, so
I know. But even if I'm just judging on the movies, this is the first time in the movies where I've seen her even like exhibit a tiny bit of like, you two in your corners now, bad Jacob, bad. Look what you did. I'll rub your nose in it. Seriously. Seriously, although he'd probably like that.
I'm sorry, the imprint thing just went in my head again.
If you pause the recording right here, this is the exact moment where Casey's brain just snaps.
All right, well, I think we should probably start wrapping up the movie discussion. Final thoughts? Let's go alphabetically. Cleo?
I like Jasper. He was fun. And Alice. That was nice.
I say you like Jasper, boy?
Boy, I say boy. Want some Kentucky Fried Chicken, boy?
It's more of a Texas kind of thing, although he did kind of have a case of Bill from True Blood. It's okay. You know, that whole thing. Well, ma'am. You know, that whole thing. But... he's fun. I like him. It's better than some of the stuff we could have had. Like Charlie congratulating Jacob for force-kissing Bella. Good for you, kid.
Dana?
Powdered vampire.
All right. Casey?
Oh, wow. I had so much to say, and I feel like there was so much that didn't even get addressed. Goodness.
Go monologue.
Go monologue.
Yeah, okay.
Now's your chance.
Okay, Bella's selfishness got to me in a lot of other places that were awkward. When she goes to see her mother and she does this whole, you know, oh, I miss you, Mom. I think you meant love, you frigid bitch. The imprint thing. Oh, there was a great moment where they're all watching the news that just had this undertone like, vampires! They're just like us. They watch TV and talk about the news. After the worst graduation speech ever, you had a little vamp foo. You know, the vamp foo was pretty good in this movie. I really appreciated that. Bella asked the fucking stupidest questions that I've ever encountered in my life. And it goes back to Jasper when he mentioned something about when he was in the Confederate Army, and she says, was this during the Civil War? What army do you know? Was there another one?
Oh, right.
Am I really free right now? Like, did we have a round two and they lost? Like, I don't know. And I'm sorry, maybe it's because I'm Southern, but that Kentucky Fried Colonel accent just was not the business. Jacob, where are your clothes? I have so many notes on that. Jacob, you know, shirts are cheap. You know, you can get some at Walgreens for like $3.99. Really.
The first time I saw him in that little hoodie around the campfire, I didn't recognize him because he was dressed.
Well, you know, they do stash clothes all across the state.
It's canon.
Thank you for confirming that for me, Cleo.
The costume designer was like, yeah, we imagine they have a stash of pants. I was like, And poor Leah's got to have a stash of tank tops, I guess.
Something, you know?
They show up after the battle, right when, right before that random last vampire runs out and Jacob fights him or whatever.
Yeah.
They all run out and they're like, we're clothed!
Wait, wait,
no,
wait,
we're
wait, wait, wait,
no, we're
wait,
not.
Wait, 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 wait a minute.
After that vampire, like, crushed Jacob's ribs, he, like, morphs right back into human, right? He had pants on.
Oh, snap.
Oh!
Oh, continuity fail.
Dun, dun.
Well, we gotta keep PG-13. All right.
Well, let's talk about the homoerotic scene in the tent.
Roger Ebert slashes Jacob Edward.
We are We are so linking this.
He had this look. I mean, Edward, they would close up on him. I'm like, boy, you know you want to cuddle too.
If you weren't if you weren't a werewolf, if you weren't trying to, but we shouldn't, but we can't.
But we can't, actually, but we must.
Here's what's really funny. They were telling a story about how Kristen Stewart kept opening her eyes when she wasn't on camera and, like, staring at him and trying to make him laugh. So that's actually him trying not to laugh through the whole thing. But it does make for fun.
Robert or Taylor? Who is she?
Robert. She wasn't facing Taylor.
Oh, you know.
I'm just saying.
No, I just couldn't. Go ahead. All right.
Yeah, but he's basically trying not to laugh the whole time. And it comes out really kind of ho-yay.
He looks like he's looking longingly at Jacob.
He's yeah, it's kind of, it came off as very flirty.
Right.
So.
Bella completely invalidated anything she ever said to the whole movie about loving Edward by being a cock-teasing cunt and kissing Jacob. Any of this undying love bullshit completely went out the other way. If you truly love and care about someone that you just agreed to marry, you're not going to kiss another man. Fuck you, Bella.
I just seriously, she's all like, I want your head to be clear. You're not thinking clearly. Let me ram my tongue down your throat. That'll help.
That'll get your mind right. I was like, really? And I love, when it's battle time and they have that one beautiful shot of the vamps all in a line, stunting on you hoes in their stylish colors, wearing black and
in the matching hunting clothes that Edward
exactly
sewed for them.
Just stunting in a straight line.
Since when is Esme a brunette?
Yeah, I thought she was blonde in the...
I thought she was like a honey blonde brown color in the first movie, and then just suddenly... You get bored as a vampire. You start
dying. Well, to be fair,
Y'all act like vampires don't have access to Fairyal like the rest.
Yeah, to be fair, pretty much any woman is going to be...
Do you think it has a natural sparkle?
She can get... She can buy a box of Nice and Easy just like the rest of y'all, okay?
Vampires are just like the rest of us, only colder.
They dye their hair. They wear eyeliner. They stand in a line and glare in unison. Ah, little Tori in the house.
I still like Jane.
I do too, but I felt let down with the negative 5 seconds that we got to see them after all that build up. They're just like, oh hey, little Tori, what's up?
It's Twilight. It's always 5 seconds after a lot of build-up, much like one of my
ex-boyfriends. I thought you were going to say it's always a letdown. Then we're back in the Summer's Eve commercial where Bella makes this long, drawn-out speech. I didn't really pay attention.
Yeah,
Marcella and I kind of just laid on each other and pretended to snore, which really pissed off the Team Jacob behind us.
Oh yeah, tell us real quick, guys, tell us about your theaters.
How bad? Sweet minty lord, there were these broads behind us wearing Team Edward and Team Jacob shirts, but here's the thing, they were like mid to late 40s.
Of course.
Like, I thought I was the oldest chick in there, but no, they were like, hey, you've got walkers and oxygen tanks, and we're Team Edward. And I was like, y'all need help.
My theater, there were these this row of 12-year-old girls that kept shushing me every time I started laughing.
Me too. I was told to shut up a couple of times.
I walked out of my theater. I walk out into the bright sunlight, and there's a family walking out, and it's mostly young boys under the age of 12, which I know had to be the best afternoon ever for them. And the youngest one, about 7 years old, is all like, I like Jacob. And his mother is all like, I like Edward. I would convert for him. And I was like, convert from what?
I think she just probably meant turn herself into a vampire. But
No, no, maybe she would have joined the Church of Latter-day Saints. I don't know.
Colonism?
Judaism.
Oh, God. All right, Kevin.
Cheated out of a sex scene.
No, you had the sexy leg hitch.
Ooh. Yeah.
There's a thing they call it that. They fetishize this one thing in that scene called the leg hitch. David Slade actually gives you a close-up of him pulling her knee over his, a close-up to make sure you know he is there for you. He understands your needs, David Slade.
He's
does.
He's just like you. He likes leg hitches. I'm sorry.
And yet, that was probably hotter than the porn that I saw.
You know, that's going to be my phrase for a while. They're just like, yes, they are.
Now I'm wondering what they're going to do in the inevitable This Isn't Eclipse, an XXX parody.
Oh,
which, you know, you're going to make me take this bullet, aren't you? I'm contractually obligated.
What do you mean, make you?
Yeah, who makes you do this, hooker?
You volunteer.
Because Cleo really, really wanted to review it, but she couldn't bring herself to watch.
The first one. That argument doesn't apply to the second one.
Oh, because then everybody was like, oh god, Dana, do another one. So I'm basically the porno in 15 minutes.
You like it, you dirty bitch.
Yeah,
I've
seen that.
Oh, stop talking dirty to me, Casey. This is going to degenerate really fast.
So, my final thoughts.
Hi, Kevin.
You know, despite my constant interruptions, I actually am here for this episode. I keep getting interrupted with other things. So I have a list of notes that I was trying to jot down in the theater. Most of them I was just trying to remember. Because I was just laughing so hard I didn't want to look down and miss stuff. So I've got, and this is, these are just, stream of consciousness notes I've got here. You are not Robert Frosting us. No, no, no. Charlie is awesome. Edward has just perfected the wife beater pose. This was when he got into Bella's broken truck.
Yeah.
I was like, so where are you going? And the way he was positioned with his arm and his head and his body, it was like the perfect white beater for the
It's like an Unsolved Mysteries reenactment.
Yeah. they really emphasize how pale Bella is in comparison to her mother. intense face.
Everywhere.
I'm not sure if there were intense faces or not. You're being vague.
Although, probably one of the funniest deliveries of any line in the entire movie was when Jacob was going, she broke her hand by punching me in the face. It was
oh my god, you guys! We just saw face punch! Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize it!
But yeah, so basically, final thoughts. The action was, I thought the action was pretty awesome. They did some really nice, just the details of when all the vampires kept breaking into marble statues as they died. I thought that was
what
a really
the
neat.
Fuck!
I thought that was a neat effect. You know, a little bit of continuity from the second movie, because when it may it from the continuity, because you could see this pretty much from. All the Volturi fight scenes from New Moon where Edward was cracking, he was getting beat up so hard, and the
I liked that part. Beat up Edward more.
But so they took it a step further and just had them crumble into marble statues. I thought that was a nice touch, just the level of detail they put in that. And it, like, it's, as I've said, 500% more Charlie is always going to be good for me. That pretty much, I think, wraps up our movie discussion. As far as Twilight goes, we've got a few other things we're going to be getting into, including, and I know everyone's been following this on your live journal, Cleo, there's the saga of this homeless cat that you've been following.
Oh, right.
You're kidding.
It gives me a happy. Okay. So a reader of mine in Seattle emails me and sends me these two pictures she took of a pet store with a cat in the window, and it has the saddest face ever.
It's the saddest. Beautiful cat.
Beautiful cat. And so here's the flyer, and it reads, picture of sad cat, text beneath, Edward Cullen, 2 years, male, neutered, domestic short hair, white. Everyone needs a break from the rain every now and then, even Edward. Making the trip to Seattle from the dreary Olympic Peninsula didn't seem too out of the ordinary until he ran into a group of feral cats that took him in. These cats were living a different lifestyle than he had intended, so now he is ready to find a home where he will be understood. He is very patient and undemanding, so this shouldn't be too hard. Given that he has a few secrets from his past, he can be a little shy at first. He has to be sure he can trust you before he truly lets you in. He enjoys to have his chin scratched and to be petted, but he doesn't want to impose too much. He can get along with other cats as long as they are as understanding as he is. Edward needs to be an indoor-only cat, has been viral tested negative, and is up to date on all shots. And you can tell he's got this look on his face on this flyer that's like, why did you name me that? Why do you hate me? Why did you do this? So I was like,
who's responsible for this?
Someone who reads my journal has got... I mean, the cat had been in the window for... The reader did not know how long. And I was like, we are going to find somebody to rescue this cat from this window and this name and this little homeless life. We're going to find somebody. So eventually, I did find somebody who wanted to adopt him for her mother. And we went on and on and on. Like, this whole saga lasted 2 weeks total. And she says she doesn't want any hard feelings against the foster family, but there were some misunderstandings and, you know, took a little too long to return some phone calls. And yes, you can have him. Oh, wait, no, we want to ask you some more questions. Okay, maybe not. And so I had a couple of entries about, you know, snow coma is the... on Lab Journal. I think she also said her name is Grace. I think she's okay with everybody knowing her name is Grace. And she's just like, I'm standing in the pet store with a sparkle collar and a pet carrier, and they won't let me have him. I am standing here in the middle of the pet store crying. They won't let me have Edward. So she apparently called and called and called until finally they sorted everything out. And they let her have him. And she voice posted the other day, Edward is in the car with us right now. We have Edward. He's in his cat carrier with his catnip toys. And he is so chill and relaxed. And for some reason, when she said catnip toys, I nearly lost it. Because I was like, you guys, he has toys all for his very own self. He didn't have toys. Like, they didn't even give him a bed at the pet store until about 1 week into this, because I kept having people who would go by and take pictures of him, and every single picture was sadder than the last. It was just so sad. So I was just
like the world's biggest cat lover going like, Carl, can we go to Seattle? Carl, let me go. I want the cat, Carl.
My cat is in my lap right now. I couldn't imagine the poor footy cat being kept like that. Isn't that right,
Shirley?
Yes, it is.
And he does this one... Somebody got this... I think it was actually on his Pet Finder page. There's this one shot of the cat with his head down, looking up. It's like a shot from the first Twilight movie with the dazzle face, except that he's dazzling you with sad. It's like... Oh, my God.
Is he dazzling you?
No.
Maybe. It's just... I was just so happy. People told me they started crying when they read that he had gotten
I was the longer it went on without him getting adopted, the more, like, my heart was just, like, breaking.
Dude, I wanted to find his foster family and break some shit. I was like, what is their problem?
It was just a mix-up. It was just, you know...
A mix-up of fuckery.
Well, it was like, apparently this is the first time they had dealt with the actual person adopting... And Grace said it kind of made them stop and go, you know, these cats that we gave up before, we never really had any control over whether they went to a good home, and they started kind of freaking out and wanting to make sure she was just perfect. And it was like, just get him out of the store and give him a home. That's
yeah, really.
Not...
It's not like she was standing there with a frying pan and a stick of butter talking about, I want to adopt a cat. I mean, Jesus.
I just want to know who named him that. Was it the previous owners? Was it the foster family? Or was it the pet store? And how fast has his name been changed? I'm very concerned about, like, you know, what did they change it to?
By the time Grace... by the time the show is up, I think Grace will have pictures up for us, like, today. So the show will be up. If they I'm to the point where we have talked about him as Edward Cat for so long. I'm actually okay with Edward Cat. I'm okay with that. I've come to terms with that. But has the cat
come to terms?
I don't know. Here's the thing. It's a fair...
Well, if they drop the Cullen from the name, I think it should be fine. Yeah. If they just call him Edward.
They,
how about Wardo?
It's...
Yes, Eduardo. And he's going to go meow.
¿Dónde está la biblioteca? Me llamo T-Bone, la araña discoteca.
Discoteca, muñeca, la biblioteca. Es un bigote grande, pero manteca.
Manteca, bigote, gigante, pequeño. Cabeza es nieve, cerveza es bueno.
Buenos días, me gustan papas frías. Bigote de la cabra, es Camarón Díaz. Yeah, boy, boy.
Yeah.
What?
It's 2009.
Word.
Hot. It's a feral cat rescue, which suggests that they scooped him off the side of the road, which means they didn't know what his name was. So apparently the foster family named him this, I'm guessing.
They deserve to never have another cat.
He has seeped from his past and all his shots.
And neutered. And neutered. He's very, very neutered.
But the thing that just I really wanted to specifically mention was just how beautiful the cat was. I mean, as funny as it is to say,
those
oh,
eyes.
Look, yeah. As funny as it is to say, oh look, Edward Cullen, he has secrets from his past and he's neutered and all that stuff. That which is, yes, I got a few base chuckles out of that. But just looking at the cat himself and Twilight aside,
perfect.
You wanted him to be happy.
This
so.
Perfect white coat, and he's just like, beautiful yellow eye. Oh my god, he is a fucking Edward Cat.
Topaz
eyes. Like, realizing it, like yeah, butterscotch eyes and dazzling white. I'm, fuck! Fuck!
Well, yeah, I mean, when I first saw the picture of the cat, I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, why do you think they named him that in the first place?
Fuck you.
They
fuck
didn't just
you,
do
just
it arbitrarily.
I hate you. Leave me alone. Cry in a corner.
But I'm just absolutely just ecstatic that all this has resolved well and that Edward Cat has a home. And
Kevin,
toys of his
question.
Very own.
Yes. I have a question for you, Kevin. How's your whiplash?
Oh, are we getting into that now?
Real quick.
All right, I mentioned on the live show that I was really going to be having movie whiplash this weekend because both Eclipse and Avatar The Last Airbender were going to be coming out at the same time. And I was so excited for Avatar.
Let him go.
I was so excited for Avatar. And I was like, okay, and so I'm going to see this awesome movie and then I'm going to have to see Twilight. So it's going to be whiplash and I'm going to have really, really trouble reconciling that. So it turns out the whiplash still happened from the other direction. So I saw Airbender and I was so excited for this. The trailers were fantastic, but as TV Tropes will tell you, never trust a trailer. I'm just going to skim over this real quick. I wrote up a whole big review. I did get a big review post out of this, and we'll link that in the show notes. Just want to bullet point this really quickly. The actors for Commander Zhao, Yue, and Zuko were pretty much spot on for the characters. You could see, I mean, even with the things that they changed in the story. Because let's face it. This is the entire first season of a series. You've got 7.5 hours of content cut down to 101 minutes of live action. there's going to be lots of stuff taken out. But they rose above their script, and you could really see they were the characters. Jackson Rathbone, who was in two movies that I saw this weekend, as playing as Sokka. He got to be Sokka once. They actually wrote a Sokka-like line for him, and he nailed it. The entire rest of the movie, he was pretty much Attack of the Clones Anakin. And speaking of that, Noah Ringer, the kid they cast as Aang, kept shifting between Attack of the Clones Anakin and Phantom Menace Anakin, and that kid, I'm sorry, I know some people say that he's probably going to be the next big young actor. He can't act. He cannot act. The main thing, he had the delivery on this one line, where it's like, when we get our avatar tattoos, or our airbender tattoos, we have to meditate. Monk Gyatso once meditated for 4 days.
Dude.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
Okay.
And?
You all right, Kevin?
And so... but, this is all up in my journal. I'm going to link to this. I'm not getting into this again. Also, Tessa had a...
It's so sad. You're so sad.
I kept trying to tell you, and I knew it was something you would have to learn for yourself.
Well, no, I knew going into it that
Don't touch the hot stove.
Yeah, no, I knew going into it that it was not going to be the greatest movie. I knew that everyone was so disappointed. I knew going into it that at the time I had seen it, it still had a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Apparently it's gone up to 6. So I knew I was going to be disappointed, but I was going to see this movie come hell or high water because I was excited about this, and I figured, you know what, if nothing else, I'm going to get a funny review out of it. Which I did, and that worked.
Can I hurt you a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone was hoping that it would just get its ass kicked and not make any money at all. And for the July 4th long weekend, Eclipse made, I'm reading the headline here, $175 million, which is like a shade less than New Moon. So it was pretty much up there. Airbender made $70 million, which is... probably enough, given that they're going to sit there and go, but we went up against Eclipse, they will probably make the next two movies.
Well,
like
keep in mind, the target demographic for this movie are not the people, it's not...
They're not competing.
Yeah, the greatest...
It's
kids. Yeah, the people who love the original series are people my age. The people who this series was originally written for are 10, 12 years old, and they're going to see this movie, and they're going to love it, because this is their favorite TV show right on the big screen. Right. And granted, 12-year-old kids are not stupid, and they're going to be like, this is not right. But it's still going to be, regardless, this was still pretty cool. And I'm going to say, you know, the action scenes, and Tessa disagrees with me, she had her own little voice post about this. The action
that's right,
scenes,
we're going to look to those.
The action scenes were fantastic. It's just, the rest of it, no. Definitely not. Trekkie Girl did say, because with all the Firebenders, the entire Fire Nation being cast with Indian actors, Trekkie Girl said that she was expecting the Bollywood musical version to kick in at any moment.
Hey, did she wear her Katara hair?
She did not. She forgot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. But that's okay, because if we get her the dress, the costuming of the movie was fantastic. I think I was talking to Cleo before the show, and you said that this was the same costume director as
Judianna Makovsky, who did the first Harry Potter movie.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, the costuming was fantastic, and honestly, Avatar, just all in and of itself gave me movie whiplash, because like, okay, this stuff is awesome. This stuff is really, really bad. This stuff was okay. This stuff is even worse. This stuff.
I'm so confused. worst.
So it was interesting. But go take a look at my review. I bullet pointed pretty much every single thing that I liked, I didn't like, and that just niggled at me.
Also, there's this really great thing on YouTube about people who just came out of Airbender. Like, they're in costume.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And the one guy's like, I should have just seen Eclipse. Like, just giving up on life. And
these,
like,
are people who didn't see the bad reviews, and they went, you know, dressed up,
painted
and they
their
came
heads.
Out, and it was just
but it's
so
like the
disappointing.
Guy shaved his head.
It's the same tone of voice as, like, I'm going to go home and kill myself with a bullet, you know? Like,
I
should have seen Eclipse. Like, just so sad.
Yeah, so I remember talking about this one girl dressed up as a character, and she wasn't even in the movie. I mean, I heard about this movie, honestly, when the whole casting controversy came out.
The race bending. We'll link to racebending.com.
Yeah, so I've just been calling it, you know, The Last Airbender was white. That's pretty much all I needed to know, so. But after seeing the reviews and everything, I was like, wow, no thanks.
Before we close this up and head on to fan mail, Kevin, you've got a project going on. You've got a great, great side project going on with Adam and with two of our listeners, if you'd like to promote that.
That's right. This is actually somewhat relating to Avatar, because I got this idea after reading Tor's fantastic Avatar rewatch that they were doing to gear up for the movie. And they've stopped after the first season and haven't done anything with the second season yet. These group of people over at Tor.com, I'll link to this, have been rewatching and just going through episode by episode of the original series and pointing out themes and saying what they really loved about it and just discussing everything about these episodes. And I thought, you know what? Tessa hasn't seen Farscape. Trekkie Girl hasn't seen Farscape. I have it on my Netflix instant queue. My mother has the entire series box set. I'm going to rewatch this, and so I put a call out on Twitter and said, hey, anybody interested in doing this with me? And Adam immediately was like, yeah, man. And then random listener Noel and one of my friends, Weston, said, you know, let's do this. So I put together a WordPress, put this on my server space, same server space that Made of Fail is hosted on, and we're doing a Farscape rewatch. It's called Deconstructing Moya. I've been referring to it as Project Talon, and it's at farscape.navaha.com. I'll link to that.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Well, you get to reproduce.
Yep, here's the here's your chance.
Cool.
Okay. So, we got a tiny bit of fan mail, did we not?
All right, let's open that up.
Dig into the fail mail.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
All right, we've got one from Argentinian listener Mary Angel. Mary Angel. I keep forgetting how she...
if it's Spanish, it's probably Mariangel.
Mariangel.
All right. She'll correct
she, she says, hello, guys. It's your faithful Argentinian fan, Mariangel, again. And to answer what Kevin asked you when you read my first email, any variation of the name will do. No one ever calls me by my full name unless I screw up. Okay, we're not going to full name you, don't worry. It is, it's currently midnight, and I'm sorry I didn't get to listen to you live, but I've got reasons. I had yoga, and Argentina played today in the World Cup.
Yeah!
I just wanted to wish you a very happy anniversary, 3! Yay, 3! And to ask something. Recently, the comic store where I buy my mangas have been stocking in Marvel, DC, and Dark Horse comics. I've only bought the first two copies of Hellboy that they had, and the guy told me that since they are just beginning with it, I could ask him to stock what I wanted to read. Which, huge perk, honestly, girl. regular customer. Yeah, that's a huge perk right there. So my question is, what would you recommend me to ask for? Keep in mind, this has to be comics that have been out for at least 1 or 2 years, because stuff gets really late here. And when I say late, I mean either Cabin in the Woods or Alice Dolan.
Oh, don't remind her.
Uh-oh, there's a story there.
Happy anniversary to you again. You're made of awesome sauce mind. And since I just heard it, I'm backing Cleo up with the $5,000 anatomically correct Japanese dolls, and I'll up you a spread in a Spanish fashion magazine explaining the success of the dolls, complete with photos and a collector testimony. And for an extra fee, they customize it for you, so there probably is an anatomically correct Edward Dolan out there.
Actual size. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
If you want to kill those precious last glimmers of hope you may have for humanity, I'll scan it and send it your way. What do you say, Cleo? Should we ask her to send us that?
I think my work here is already done.
Must not be curious. No.
So, no. Dana, you're pretty much the expert here. What would you recommend that she ask for?
Now I know how Lewis feels. What comics do you recommend? It depends what you like, but the two that I recommend are from Vertigo, and nobody I've recommended these to have disliked them at all. Why the Last Man, which is about they call it a gendercide. Something happens, and everything on the Earth with a Y chromosome dies. Shit goes down, except for one man and his monkey. Stuff happens. And then there's Fables, which is about all the fairy tales from, like, everything you've ever heard about. They're real, their homelands have been invaded, and they're stuck in New York City trying to do the best they can to live in a world and eventually try to get their homelands back. Awesome. It's excellent. Both those things are really, really good.
Are those Marvel, DC, or Dark Horse?
They are Vertigo, which is a DC imprint.
Okay,
and
so there's a chance.
Fables is still going on. The latest issue was 96, so it's been around. And Why the Last Man was a 60-issue series, and it's all in trade. You can collect it in trade paperback. You can get it on Amazon.
All right. Well, I just want to point out to you, Maria, that, like, as with most manga, it's not so much just liking manga or comics for the sake of liking comics. It's less of a genre and more of a medium. So it depends on what you want to read. If you like the superhero stuff, I mean, definitely Marvel and DC's frontline superhero things. I would recommend, if you are going to be getting into superhero, check out Ultimate Spider-Man.
She said Hellboy, so I figured she'd like more of the Vertigo stuff.
Right, Hellboy is definitely good. So honestly, it really depends on what you like to read. So hope that works out for you.
Okay, next one from our wonderful, the leader of our fangirl army, Gwen, and she says, I get distracted by trying to sell my house. Want to feel really old? Try selling a home. It's worse than buying a house or feeling like you have to be all responsible and grown up and all that. Oh, God, I don't want to talk about my weekend. And you go and have an awesome live podcast that I miss. Pooh. Lovely show. I will squee much for your Doctor Who episode. Also, if you need an additional person for the show, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I'll be there in a shot. I was a slow convert to Tennant, but a quick convert to Matt Smith. He is amazing. I had another idea for a show for you, Living Your Geekdom Out Loud. Talk about people who take their geek out of their living rooms and computer rooms and do stuff in, quote, real life. LARPing, cosplay, the Society for Creative Anachronism, even people who just go to a lot of conventions. All of these activities take what you tend to enjoy in private or semi-private, reading, playing video games, etc., not really large crowd activities, and put them out in public. If you do this and you'd like the input, I'd love to talk regarding the SCA, as I've been an active member for over 15 years. It would be interesting to get the various perspectives on this. Yes? No? Gwen, leader of the Fangirl Army.
That is a fantastic concept, and that is something that I personally would love to explore. LARPing is not necessarily as looked down on as people say it is. It's actually a lot of fun. And Dana, keep in mind, you have said the exact same thing about D&D, and guess what?
Yeah, but my husband says that he used to LARP as a vampire in Vampire the Masquerade, and my friend Ryan and I were making fun of him so hard because he's sitting there looking down on us for playing D&D, right? And I'm like, whatever. You play the poofiest vampires of all the poofy vampires, like the Caitiff or whatever, right? And he's all like, we were rebels. We didn't have a clan. And I lived in a tree, and I swooped down, and I hunted my prey. And I'm like, what was your character name? And he's like, Russell. And I go, Russell, like the leaves in your tree? Oh, Carl. Carl, swoop from your tree and take me, you predator. It's just like... And I did not get laid that night, I'll tell you that. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. He's sitting there, like, making fun of me for being a level 2 paladin, but I'm like, yeah, take me, Russell.
Yeah, the thing was, Carl didn't so much swoop as he just landed on you. Because he jumps out of a fucking tree.
It doesn't matter. Just like, he was like, I was a predator. I was a loner. And I'm like, but you're looking down
on me. He was an asshole jumping out of a tree.
Love you, Carl.
And landing on people. Love you, Carl.
Okay, alright. So, next.
Just saying.
Alright, we've got one last email from Danielle. She says, hi everyone, I thought I'd send through my impressions of Eclipse, because the laws of the internet compel you to talk about it in your next episode. Unfortunately, you're correct. When we got Jasper's backstory and he was training to fight everyone to fight the newborns, it was badass and I spontaneously started loving him. He and Alice are awesome. It was like the part in Deathly Hallows where we find out what's been going on at Hogwarts the entire time. And you go, dude, that's awesome. Why have we spent the last 500 pages following the boy who got too much credit?
I like her.
Then he started talking about the vampires having turf wars and taking different territories, and can't you just see him as the vampire sheriff of Forks? Where has all the fuckwittery gone? I didn't want to punch Bella's head in anywhere near as often as I was expecting. Jacob and Edward still needs to learn that no means no, and Bella is still an inconsiderate twat, but it's not as enraging. Possibly because it's not being narrated by Bella's inner monologue. Also, people are proactive in this movie. I swear, Bella actually stands up for herself at some point. I also like the bits through the movie where everyone, not even people relating to the main plot, would be going, incidentally, deciding that you want to do something life-changing and irreversible, like, say, turning into a vampire, is a daft idea when you're not even out of high school yet, Bella. There is actual narrative structure. The plot point about the third wife stabbing herself to distract the vamp with the blood, and then there's another plot point where Edward says Bella's tasty freesia blood doesn't freak him out anymore. And then the plot points are actually used in the story, because she actually cuts herself and actually distracts Victoria, but not Edward, because he's used to it. The pre-credit sequence was pretty good, too. Action-y and interest-grabbing, rather than Bella poeticizing irreverently at us. As I said, no, no, you are not Robert Frosting us, no. I happen to like that poem, sorry. Not entirely sure why the vampires shattered like concrete when they get their bits ripped off. I know Edward is a marble Adonis cupcake, but are they actually made of marble? Are they related to the weeping angels? Aw.
Very
awesome,
nice.
awesome reference. It. To explain that, Dana, that's a Doctor Who reference. Ye gods, that ring was hideous.
There you go.
Oh, God, yeah.
That makes me so angry! Angry! Okay. I'm a jewelry nerd. If you ever go on my Tumblr, I love historical costume, fashions, I love jewelry. That ring makes me angry. I don't know why Stephanie Meyer, she designed this. Why this resonated with her. But the costume designer, I read, went through and researched Victorian rings, because if it was his mother's ring, it would have to be from before 1900, okay?
Right.
So he goes and he brings in 4 Victorian-inspired designs. They didn't show them, but okay. And they tell him, no, Stephanie wants us to use her design, which they had been selling replicas of since before the first movie even came out. Ugly, cheap ass, rhinestone cowboy replicas. I'll give you a link. Now you can get them in real diamond format, and people have actually said they've gotten engaged with them. I give up on humanity.
I did that a long time ago. Wow.
No, I haven't seen her do this though. This is beautiful.
It's awful.
Come to the dark side, Cleo. We have cookies.
Well, it's like, please, I know what Cleo's saying, especially, you know, about the historical accuracy, because my focus and my major is costume design. And you have to look at those things. You have to. Why? Why must I cry?
Because she's Stephanie Meyer, and as I think, I saw this retweeted, I think either today or yesterday, that someone said they met Stephanie Meyer. She smells like J.K. Rowling with, or minus a decimal point.
Okay, so you said costume major or whatever like that, and I think I heard Cleo fall in love with you.
Yeah, I did gasp. I did.
Oh, right. Yeah, my.
Is it going to be light pitching?
Probably.
Alright, so he continues to say, don't people normally wear the wedding ring and the engagement ring together? Vampire super strength or not, she's not going to be able to lift her hand with any more weight on there.
I'm surprised she can lift her head with her ego.
Oh, but I'm pumped.
P.S. I wonder why Americans seem to pronounce twat to rhyme with lot when the rest of the world pronounces it to rhyme with brat.
I've never heard it pronounced that. Ever.
Entirely irreverent, irrelevant. But I'm a nerd for linguistics, and honestly, I think it's probably in America because it's not really an American term. I'm sorry.
They pronounce twat in like the rest of the world, and I'm like, I've never heard it.
Oh,
that way.
Okay.
I've heard it.
I've heard it in many different places, and it's.
A lot of people calling you a twat, Kevin.
Yes. It was actually a point in my comedy class. Somebody was asking for funny words, and everyone kept recommending twat. And it really depends, honestly, because Americans don't know any better. It depends on what they heard it as first, and that kind of sticks with them. It's not specifically because we're American we have to pronounce it that way. It's because that's what we heard first, and nobody really corrected us. So
it's magic.
It's like,
we don't have to explain it. A wizard did it. Powdered America, vampire.
It's also probably regional, too, like the difference between pop and soda.
It's pop.
Soda.
Sorry.
See, I pop. Say soda specifically because it makes me sound a little bit more pretentious.
Uh-huh.
You sounded going out of your way to...
Dana, you must drive people crazy here, especially in the South, because we say... Soda.
Casey, that implies people ever see me.
as much as Dana protests this, she really is a child of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but boy, do I love those hot dogs with ketchup. Let me tell you.
You've been disowned. Don't worry. So,
wait, who doesn't eat hot dogs with ketchup?
Anybody in Chicago? Here's the thing.
Kevin, you fought bitterly with me when I was at your house and we were making hot dogs on the grill.
No. I said you could have the hot dog with ketchup. You're gonna have to put it on yourself. And actually, incidentally, my cousin found this out when she was at Navy Pier. She lived. My cousin lives in St. Louis, Missouri, and she came up here to visit, and she went to Navy Pier. And she got a hot dog from one of the vendors there and asked for ketchup. And he refused to put it on the hot dog. He gave her a packet. He put everything else on the hot dog for her, but when she asked for ketchup, he gave her a packet.
Really? That was at Navy Pier?
Mm-hmm. It's a Chicago thing.
It's just funny, when I was at Navy Pier, those are the same people who... charge me for Cajun fries when they just sprinkled some damn Tonys on them.
Yeah, but that's because Navy Pier is an over-glorified boardwalk. everything's overpriced there. Yeah, it's a tourist trap. Everything's overpriced there. But it's a generic Chicago thing that people will refuse to put ketchup on a hot dog because it's just not done.
It's nutty.
Sure, it's how it is, okay? Try going to Cincinnati. Vampire. Ask Devin this.
You know, we have our customs too, Dana.
Yeah, ask Devin this, actually. go to Cincinnati and ask for a bowl of chili.
Why would, in God's name, would I, with everything wrong with me, ask for a bowl? Is that, that's suicide, Kevin. I'll make
I'm talking in general. Cincinnati.
I'm waiting for you to tell me why.
Because in Cincinnati, chili is a condiment, not a meal. You put it on hot dogs, you put it on spaghetti.
Really?
But it's not a meal. So, but here's the thing. They got upset with me. Well, they didn't get upset with me, but they were like, "Are you sure? Are you sure?" I went to Skyline Chili with Tessa, who lived there for a few years. And but here's the thing: it's on the menu. You can order a bowl of chili from the menu. It's not like you ask for it specially, and they still go, "Really? Are you sure?
Is it safe? Do you know what you're getting?
Do you really want to do that?" So see, at least
doesn't sound ominous at all.
But see, at least if you go and get a Chicago style hot dog, they don't list ketchup as one of the condiments.
Right.
It's not on the menu, so I have some defense there. Anyway, I think we're tangenting. I believe if nobody else has any final thoughts on pretty much anything.
I have an announcement.
All right.
Guess what, guys? Audience. We have a URL that doesn't require like 3 lines to write down and jot down to your friends. And I forgot to give it out last episode when we had it, and I was so happy. Are you ready? If you want to pimp us out, not only can you just up and find us in the iTunes store, but you can go to madeoffail.net. That's it. I'm so happy I don't have to say that goddamn. Okay, granted, it's a redirect to the live.
Yeah, right now we don't have an actual website set up, but it's a redirect to the live journal community.
But I don't
it's
have
still
to say it anymore.
Yeah, we have the domain registered. So
madeoffail.net.
Don't forget, you can comment on any episode on our live journal community. At madeoffail.net, and you can do that without having a LiveJournal account. We do accept anonymous comments. You can also email us at made_of_fail@yahoo.com, or check out our Twitter at made_of_fail. Like to thank
madeoffail.net.
Yes, I would like to thank both Cleo and Casey for joining us tonight.
Yes,
thank
hope you guys
for
had
having
a great time.
Good to be on.
And this has been what, episode 32? Are we on 32 now?
Yes.
32 of Made of Fail. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful night.
Powdered vampire.
I wanna do bad things with you. Okay.
Bye, kidsies.
Catch you guys later.
Bye. I love you, Cleo.
Oh, thank you. Love you, too.